At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, your host. Controversy is swirling around the Beshear administration regarding disaster relief funds being sent to the wrong people not affected by tornadoes in West Kentucky. Joining us to talk further is State Treasurer Allison Ball. Allison, welcome to The Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Back in February, your office was contacted by 192 people, or that was how many checks that were sent to the wrong people, but you started getting phone calls from people who were getting these checks from the state government who were not affected from the tornadoes. Team Western Kentucky Tornado Relief Fund has raised some $52 million the last time I checked. And your office is charged as a state treasurer. You're responsible for putting your name on those checks. And once you realize that people who were not part of the disaster and should not have been receiving the checks, you put a stop on those checks. Tell us what you did, because the reason why this is an issue is the governor, Andy Beshear, is saying this is politically motivated, that this is this recent audit that has been called for by the legislature. Tell us what you did, if you would, in the beginning, once you learned that those checks were being sent to the wrong people.
Sure. And I can walk you through this whole process because it actually begins earlier than February. So when the Western Kentucky tornadoes hit, now about a little over a year and a half ago, when that happened, we began trying to look at the account that the governor set up, which he called at the time the Western Kentucky Relief Fund. And I'm sure you remember he was soliciting individuals from all over the world to contribute to provide relief for people impacted by the tornadoes. And we began to get checks, from generous people all over. We actually got a check, $100,000 check from the country of Taiwan. So we had good-hearted people from all over the world who were trying to contribute to help. Incredibly generous and wonderful of all these people to do that. But I began to get some concern as I was looking at the account that there really weren't any procedures or oversight structures in place, because this was unusual. The government is not really a charity. We don't solicit funds from the public to distribute to other people. We're just not set up that way. So I began to look at it. And I just had some concerns that there really wasn't a process to be able to handle these checks and payments very well. So I remember I began to ask some questions of the Public Protection Cabinet, which is the entity the governor put in charge of the relief funds. And we actually had some back and forth for a while, and they did put some guardrails in place temporarily. But one thing I asked for at the time was for there to be an audit of those funds. I'm a big believer in transparency. I'm running for auditor right now. I really do believe in making sure money goes where it's supposed to, processes are correct. So way back when, before anything ever happened, I asked for an audit of these funds just to ensure that everything is going exactly where it should. Also, because this is novel. This is not something the government has done really in the past. It's a new thing to do. And I got an answer back from the Public Protection Cabinet with a very clear no, we don't want to do an audit. And so that's kind of where it stood for a little while. I then began to ask the members of the General Assembly, like, hey, we need to be looking at this because, like I said, it's very unusual. It wasn't appropriated by the General Assembly, which is how constitutionally money is spent in Kentucky. So there were all kinds of issues with this being very unusual. Well, I began to get really concerned last December because most of that money actually had sat in the bank account, and I was keeping an eye on it for all of that period of time. Some money went out originally to pay for funerals, which is entirely appropriate and good expense. But most of that money, after those payments were made, just sat there for a long time. So we had about $35 million in the Western Kentucky Relief Fund as of last December, and then we got instructions from the Public Protection Cabinet. They wanted to issue $1,000 payments. So it's quite a bit of money going out to individuals. It was quite a lot of money. It was the amount of $10 million going out at that point in time. So it was a lot of money in $1,000 increments. So we delivered those to the Public Protection Cabinet, and they then issued it to people who they determined were people who were impacted by the tornadoes. because that's their job, is to identify those individuals. So we made that happen, and we're somewhat encouraged that there was money actually going out of the account, because I'm from Eastern Kentucky. I saw what the floods did in my region. And, you know, if you're impacted by a natural disaster, you probably need money as soon as possible. So this was about a year later when we finally got instructions for some of this money. And almost immediately, so in December, we began to get notifications from individuals saying to us, hey, I just got this check. I don't know why I got it. Somebody who goes to church with my in-laws in Campbellsville told me, hey, I got a relief fund check. I don't know why I got it. I wasn't impacted by the tornadoes. We had people in Northern Kentucky, so in a region entirely unaffected by the tornadoes, say, hey, we've gotten these checks. So we began to get concerned as we started getting all these phone calls, and it ended up about 200, a little over 200 checks that we were notified by the individuals themselves saying, hey, we got these checks we really shouldn't have. And there's no way to know how many went to people that probably shouldn't have deserved it, because these are only the people out of the goodness of their heart who are honest people who contacted us and said, hey, there's a problem with these checks. So that confirmed all of my concerns that I'd had from the beginning about why you need an audit, why you need procedures in place, why you need oversight. You know, and it's not saying anybody had bad motives in how they distributed this, but it's just good government. And the governor likes to say that this is a transparent system. This is a system that is accurate and works. And if you believe that is so, then you need to put things in place to make sure it is that way. So once I had this information in place, I really began encouraging the members of the General Assembly to deal with this, because it wasn't just my concerns about what could happen. I now know what was happening.
To that point, if I could interrupt. So the Legislative Oversight and Investigations Committee, chaired by Adam Bolling, state representative from Middlesbrough, and then Senator Brandon Smith from London, they wrote a letter regarding a review by the auditor's office of these checks that we're talking about. They said this in their letter: the committee has serious concerns about the due diligence and general oversight of the funds. There's a lack of transparency surrounding the solicitation, administration, and procurement rules regarding these funds, including but not limited to the establishment of objective criteria for the disbursement and subsequent disbursement. Now, they went on and they said a lot more, but they have requested an official audit by Mike Harmon. He is the state auditor. Andy Beshear's response at his press conference on Thursday questioned the timing of this audit. He says, look, the election's only 3 months away. Governor Beshear also asserted that the review will not be impartial because Mike Harmon ran in the GOP primary for governor. And he also called this grossly political. Does Andy Beshear have a point that this is a political maneuver?
Well, of course he would make that argument. You know, it's no surprise at all that when someone's called out on something, that's what they respond to. But again, at the end of the day, what is important about this is that money goes to people impacted by these natural disasters. That is what I have said all along is important. The governor has said that's what's important. He really should have no reason to not want audits performed on these dollars. If he really wants money to go to people impacted by the natural disasters, of course you want an audit done of it. I mean, why wouldn't you? Why don't you want people to have security and knowing that the money's going where it's supposed to? And why don't you want people to get that money?
So, Allison, let me press into that. If you and the governor said we are for transparency, he is a believer in accountability, why would he not cooperate with you? Because what I heard earlier was that the Public Protection Cabinet was not willing to work with you when you first brought this to the attention. Is that correct?
We've asked questions all along the way. They set up an emergency regulation that was temporary for the Western Kentucky Relief Fund. It expired. So during a significant period of this whole process, there was no oversight at all, or no guardrails at all. And again, they were never willing to conduct an audit on it. And if you really, like I said, if you really want this money to go where it's supposed to, you know, it's not a slush fund. It's not a Governor Beshear GoFundMe page that he can send things wherever he wants to. And that's what he says. He says he wants it to go to people impacted by it. He says he wants it to be quick. You know, we're a year and a half now, and there's still quite a lot of money. I believe early May, it was still in the tens of millions of dollars. I think it was over $20 million still in the account. So if you really want this money to go to people, and you really want this to be transparent, you really want this to be done correctly, you would be all for an audit. And of course, the fact that Auditor Harmon is from another political party is just the way it goes. I mean, people get elected to different roles. They have to do their job, whatever their political affiliation is. You have to do your job.
That's a good point. So what would be a good resolution to this situation right now? Should there be better safeguards, better communication between state agencies such as public protection and your office? What would be the ideal resolution right now with this situation?
The things are being done that should be done. The General Assembly did pass a bill which put guardrails in place, put some procedures in place for ongoing ongoing payments involving these accounts, and then also any future accounts that are set up like this. So the General Assembly has done great work on remedying some of these situations, and it's entirely appropriate for the auditor to audit and make sure these things are being done the way they're supposed to be done. What happened before this bill was passed? We need to know that too. We need to know, has money gone out to people that shouldn't have gotten it? This is all good government. This is all transparency. This is all making sure that you're doing things properly. This is exactly the way that you want things to proceed. The General Assembly responds, the auditor responds. And I would encourage the governor, don't make this political. Just do what you say. You want this to go to people that were impacted by the natural disasters. You want there to be transparency. You want the public who you solicited to give this money to you, you want them to feel confident that it's being used the way it's supposed to be used. So this isn't a hyper-political issue. This is everyone can work together on this one and say, yes, we want to make sure this is done the right way. It's novel. It's unusual. It's not a typical thing for government to do. So that being the case, you have to make sure it's all being done the right way, because this is new territory for all of us. When you do something like that, you have to do audits. You have to make sure there's guardrails in place. And I would encourage the governor, all of us work together and make sure it's going where it's supposed to.
Very good. Allison Ball, thank you for your good work on this issue. Keep up the good work. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, and we are talking about the controversy swirling around the Beshear administration regarding disaster relief funds being sent to people not affected by the disasters, floods in eastern Kentucky and the tornadoes in west Kentucky. And joining us to talk further is Auditor of Public Accounts, Mike Harmon. Mike, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
When this story first came out, I had read a number of reports that highlighted what Governor Beshear was saying, saying essentially that it was politically motivated, grossly political, really no need for an audit. In fact, you were brought up, and the reason why we're doing this is because I believe in getting right to the source. Sure. of the matter and trying to really help our listeners and viewers understand what is going on. So your office received a request by the Legislative Oversight and Investigations Committee to examine the distribution of disaster relief funds just recently in the legislature.
That's correct.
KRS 6.935 states that the Auditor of Public Accounts shall assist the Legislative Oversight and Investigations Committee in whatever manner the co-chairs deem helpful. Now, as I just mentioned, after the Oversight Committee requested the audit from your office, Governor Beshear pushed back and said not only was it grossly political, but that there's a conflict of interest with you personally because you ran in the GOP primary for governor.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And how do you respond to this?
Well, I responded to this just as you said. We received not only a request, but the way that the law reads that we shall, our office shall. Now, I myself am still recused. I've been recused really from anything that we have done directly with the governor's office for the last 2.5 years. I don't know if people will notice, but if you look at the last two and a half years, we have not self-initiated any audit that would be directly involved with that. Now, we've done some every year. Our office is required to do what's known as the statewide single audit of Kentucky. It's just looking, looking at the state's finances, part one of that looks at compliance and the financial statement. Part two looks at federal compliance. And so we've done that every year because we are required to do it. But even when they are doing that process, I am recused from the process, which basically means I don't see the product until it's a finished product. We just recently released, a few months ago, the Kentucky State University audit. That was, we were legislatively directed to do that as well, but I remain recused from that until such time that it was complete also.
Very good. So your response, and I did not read this in the initial reports, mm-hmm. that you have recused yourself from this personally.
Correct.
So isn't this really a transparency issue? I mean, we're talking about $52 million that came into this fund from donors who were charitable. Out of the goodness of their heart, they wanted to help those who are suffering from the disasters, the tornadoes in West Kentucky, the flooding in Eastern Kentucky. So isn't there a public interest? Shouldn't there be total transparency and an understanding of how the money came in, who received the money? Isn't, instead of a political issue, I mean, isn't this a transparency issue?
I think it's important for transparency, and certainly we don't know what an audit will find, but any time that you have that much money flow in and from donors, and you know, we see similar sometimes in regards to, like, sometimes sheriffs and others will set up a charitable account to try to help, whether it's Shop Cop or things like that. And there's certain specific guidelines that you have to follow in that regards. Now, I think the biggest concern is some of the stuff that Treasurer Ball had uncovered in regards to checks going to people that hadn't even requested it. So, you know, from the standpoint, it will be interesting to see, you know, what our people, like I said, I'm recused, but it will be interesting to see what process they go through. It'll be interesting to see what they look at and, you know, if they've made any determination as to, you know, how those people were chosen. As I understand in press releases, as that my understanding is that a lot of that was chosen through FEMA records. And so I don't know what specifically we will look at, but I would imagine they will try to retrace some of that.
Treasurer Ball was on the first segment, and she had mentioned that it's 200 checks that went to the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And it could have been more than 200, but people contacted her office saying, hey, I was not affected by the disaster. I don't know why I got this check. And that's what really started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I was with a state senator yesterday who said that it's very unusual that there'd be a private fund for disaster relief, as we're talking about, that would go through the government. And he said it would have been much easier if it had just been held by a nonprofit. If a nonprofit organization that had some expertise in this area received the funds, came up with procedures for distributing the funds, and then actually distributed the funds. Is it problematic that the state is collecting private funds and distributing them? Again, large number of dollars, $52 million at least. Governor Beshear was leading in some of the fundraising efforts, and I applaud that. I mean, he mm-hmm. is caring for the people who were hurt by the disasters. But is it problematic that you have a state agency? In this case, it's the Public Protection Cabinet that received the funds, and they're distributing the funds. But it appears that we're not sure if there was a procedure, if they had guidelines.
Yeah, it is problematic. I mean, from the standpoint, you know, obviously, I think the money that was raised, it's important. But it does become problematic when a government agency is, you know, working through a charity. It's not unheard of, but it does become problematic.
Has this been done before in state government? You'd mentioned sheriffs. Local government mm-hmm. might receive funds at the local level if there's some kind of a need there. Back in Trigg County, where I lived for many, many years, there was toy drives for mm-hmm. kids, Toys for Tots.
And usually we encourage them to set up or work through a local charity as opposed. And then whenever you're going to have, like, if you want some of your people to volunteer, whether to raise funds or whether to actually work in it. We've seen something similar too. If you go back and look at our Kentucky Horse Park audit, you know, Kentucky Horse Park has a charitable organization that they work hand in hand. And so you have to be, and it's to support the horse park, but you have to be careful when you do that to make sure that you follow the proper procedures.
Mike, did the Public Protection Cabinet reach out to you at the beginning when they decided or when they were appointed to receive the funds? Were they in touch with you to receive guidance as to best practices?
I mean, I'm not aware of that. You know, if they did, I was not made aware of it. Of course, obviously, during that time frame, I was already recused from it. But I would think that I would at least be notified that they were seeking guidance of best practices. As I understand, at least in reading some of the news reports, that the governor didn't reach out to the executive branch ethics prior to doing it as well. But I have not confirmed that. That's just what I've heard in some reports.
What comes to mind or what I think of is when you're dealing with, anytime you're dealing with public money, in this case, you're dealing with private funds that would be held by the government, it would appear prudent to seek counsel from agencies outside the executive branch, which right. The governor, Andy Beshear, is the head of the executive branch. Public Protection is a cabinet under his leadership. But just to remove, just out of an abundance of caution and to remove any doubts, any concerns that an outsider might have looking into this,
right.
It would be wise to go to the ethics branch.
Probably be the most wise to go to the executive branch ethics. Certainly it would have been good, just like when we had ARPA funds or we had CARE funds, you know, we got ahead of the ball and, you know, worked with the different local governments and state agencies and try to talk about the best practice using like single audit guidelines, things along that lines. And a charitable organization is just a little bit different. And when they intersect, not only with the charitable organization, but government, then there's a lot more process you have to go through to make sure that there's not, you know, using some of those funds for undue influence elsewhere. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying there has to be a lot more cautious.
Thank you. The Legislative Oversight and Investigations Committee are led by State House member Adam Bowling out of Middlesbrough and State Senator Brandon Storm out of London. And they wrote a letter to your office requesting the review of the 200 checks that were issued to the wrong people. This is what they said in part in their letter. The committee has serious concerns about the due diligence and general oversight of the funds. There is a lack of transparency surrounding the solicitation, administration, and procurement rules regarding these funds, including but not limited to the establishment of objective criteria for the disbursement and subsequent disbursement. In addition, testimony provided at legislative hearings suggests that the executive branch did not seek any formal opinions regarding the ethical parameters for such solicitations or register under appropriate federal guidelines. This is to the point that we just talked about a moment ago.
But I would also say in that letter, even though it was addressed to me, they actually emailed it to my assistant state auditor. And in that email, they acknowledged the fact that I am already recused from such things.
Well, okay, so I will take up that point. Because at the press conference that Governor Beshear had on Thursday, he targeted you. Mm-hmm. He said this, listen, for somebody who is running for governor that's supporting the other candidates to announce an audit on something like this 3 months and 2 weeks before an election, we all have to admit that's grossly political. So even though the email sent to you, and I don't want to belabor this point, but I want to be clear for the sake of our listeners, even though the email was addressed to the assistant auditor, at his press release, he made it sound like there's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, and but for the last two and a half years, we've made it known in at least two statewide single audit of Kentucky's, which is our audit, as I said earlier, of the financial statement and federal compliance. We've made it aware because they have brought that up in part of that audit, and we have responded with our standard that we have put the necessary recusal process in place. In auditing, we call it impairment, but we use the term recusal. And so I don't get an opportunity to see anything in those audits until such time that they are a completed product. Now, once they're a completed product, I get a chance to review it so that I can interact with the press. But I don't see it. So he should have been aware of that for the last two and a half years. Now, I'm not trying to defend him, but I will say this. You know, the timing, because we got it and then we had to review it. And when it was released, it was pretty close to a press conference. So maybe he didn't have an opportunity to fully absorb the information. However, he and his staff should have been aware that I've been recused from anything along that lines for the last 2.5 years, and that recusal is still in place, or at least the last 2 years. So.
It appears to me that that was misleading. Now, whether by ignorance or deliberate, it was not accurate based on what you're saying, his response at the press conference. So your assistant auditor will issue a report. They stated that the auditor of public accounts will issue a report that describes any weaknesses or deficiencies identified and offer recommendations to strengthen and improve internal controls and procedures. Is there an expected date when this audit will be released?
As I said, I am
You're completely
out of it. Okay. So I do not know the timing. Something along this line should be a little more basic, I would imagine, than some of our more intense audits. You know, when did the audit of the University of Louisville, governance exam of the University of Louisville Foundation, University of Louisville. That one obviously was a little more intense. I would imagine something along this line should not be as intense and should be fairly basic, but I can't speak to the actual timing.
Very good. We are out of time. Auditor Mike Harmon, thank you so much for joining us on the Commonwealth Matters, and appreciate you and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Growing up as a child, who did you turn to whenever you had a crisis? Who was your source of strength? Who held you in the darkest situations and became your beacon of light? Most of us will recall the love of our parents, our grandparents, our family. But the harsh reality today is that there are many who face the dark places of life totally alone. Since 1869, the mission and the ministry of Sunrise Children's Services has been to help children in crisis. That need grows every day in Kentucky. Everyone with a passion for children can join us in giving hope to children in need. To learn more, just visit sunrise.org or call 1-800-456-1386. Matthew 25:40 tells us, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me.' Now's the time to be a child's source of strength. Come help us at Sunrise Children's Services."